I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.
Good afternoon, I'm Alex Degman, and this is The Rundown. The Chicago Bears are the toast of the town after an overtime win Saturday against the Packers. The Bears now have a record of 11-4, and they're in first place in the NFC North. And they've also secured a spot in the playoffs for the first time since 2020. Head coach Ben Johnson is proud of his team for Saturday's win, but he knows they have more to do.
That was step one. Step two is we want to win this division. We want to have at least one home playoff game. And then step three would be clinch a number one seed. So there's a lot of things still out there to play for. Our guys know that.
The Bears have two games left in their regular season. They travel to San Francisco this weekend to face the 49ers, and they finish the season by hosting the Detroit Lions. Select Illinois drivers could see some relief after a major multi-state settlement with Mercedes-Benz and Daimler announced today. Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul says the automaker violated state laws by equipping its cars with software meant to evade emission standards. Raoul says today's nearly $150 million settlement will include about $8 million for Illinois. It also includes a consumer relief program which requires the companies to pay drivers $2,000 per eligible vehicle. The Cook County Clerk's Office has selected the couple who will receive the county's first marriage license of 2026. That couple will also get presents from Chicago area businesses, including a hotel stay, wedding flower arrangements, and a dance lesson. Nearly 1,000 couples submitted their names for the lottery, and some of them gathered to watch the live drawing of the winners on Facebook. Cook County Clerk Monica Gordon mixes up folded pieces of paper in a box before picking one from the pile.
The winning couple is Christopher Perez and Stephanie Robledo. Congratulations!
The pair will tie the knot January 2nd in the county's annual first wedding ceremony. Operation North Pole is an annual holiday charity event for children with life-threatening illnesses. It returned for the first time since COVID. My colleague, WBEZ's Summer Van Benton, was there.
There were pictures with Santa, hundreds of Christmas trees, and thousands of pounds of candy. Organization President Barbara Dobler says the event gives families a chance to forget about medical treatment, even if just for one day.
They suffer every day, and so today's the day that they can forget about everything. Nobody's sick, everybody's treated the same, and everybody comes in and has a great time. They're dancing, they're eating, they're sitting on Santa's lap. It's just a magical thing.
Children arrived in Rosemont, Illinois, aboard a Christmas-themed Metro train, then were escorted by local police and firefighters to the winter-themed celebration. Summer Van Benton, WBEZ News.
You're listening to The Rundown. In Chicago, where you live can dictate when you die. The biggest life expectancy gap between neighborhoods is 20 years, from West Garfield Park to The Loop. One of the solutions to closing this gap is playing out in Garfield Park. A son's mission to turn around his mom's health has become a community-wide effort to help everyone live longer. WBEZ's Kristen Schorsch takes us on a walk with the Peace Runners 773.
Any first-timers today? First-timers?
It's a Saturday morning outside the Garfield Park Fieldhouse. About 50 people in workout gear stand in a big circle and start their warm-up exercises. One of them is Glyden Hoffman. She's 68 years old. She's wearing a Peace Runners t-shirt and bright blue gym shoes. She's getting ready to walk a mile. She tries to lift her knees up high, one at a time.
Oh, I hate that one.
Then it's one heel out, arms up. Next comes the Peace Runner's own twist on jumping jacks. Minutes later, most of the crowd takes off, jogging through the park. Glyden and a small group of seniors follow. They're walking instead, but they're pretty fast. 5 years ago, this walk would not have been possible for Glyden. She was about 70 pounds heavier and taking a dozen or so medications.
Hypertension, borderline for diabetes, obesity, and asthmatic, sleep apnea. I had it all.
She used a walker and was rarely out in her Garfield Park neighborhood. She says she was afraid of the violence, and she worried her blood pressure would get so high, she would pass out during a walk. She'd fainted before. Then one day in 2020, during the COVID-19 pandemic, Glyden had a telehealth appointment with her doctor.
And he told me that I had to change a lot. Do I was going to have a heart attack or a stroke?
Heart disease is a top driver of the death gap in Chicago. And Glyden's doctor told her the average person in her community might not live till their 70th birthday.
I didn't want to die. I was scared. I'm gonna lie. Didn't tell you that I wasn't. I was 62. I was 63. So, and I'm looking at the newest little granddaughter, man, like, wow, really? I'm gonna go. I'm not gonna watch her grow up.
Sitting next to her during the call is her son, Jackie. He was just hanging out on the couch with his mom, and he overheard the conversation. When Jackie and I recently caught up at the Garfield Park Fieldhouse, he tells me he had no idea his mom was on so many medications.
You find out that the person that you love the most, the superhuman to you, has a weakness. My brain was immediately thinking, like, if this is the life expectancy, if this is my mom, if this is what's going on, if this is what we can do to change this, like, why are we not doing it?
Right away, Jackie came up with a plan that would not only drastically change his mom's life, but would also improve the health in his community. He started with his mom. Let's take a walk and change what we eat. At first, they walked around her backyard every morning around 6 a.m. Then they went to a park close by. Jackie would run laps, encouraging his mom as she walked. About a year later, she went back to the doctor.
And he said, what are you doing? I looked at him. I was frightened. I'm like, what? What? He said, do you know you lost 68 pounds within this year? I said, no way.
Jackie knew how to help his mom because he was trying to lose weight himself. He played Division I football in college. As an offensive lineman, he weighed more than 300 pounds. He says no one gave him a roadmap to shed that weight after football. So we started running and walking. Now with the two of them doing laps in the park, the community started to notice. Some even joined in. This was becoming bigger than just the two of them. So they organized a 5K on Juneteenth in 2020. About 20 people showed up.
The energy was so good. I was like, we need to keep this. Like, we need this. And I remember the people riding past and they seeing people of the community running and walking. They blowing the horn.
Since then, every Saturday morning, the Hoffmans have walked and run around Garfield Park, and the community joins in. Jackie says they bring peace to the neighborhood, where the rates of homicide and opioid overdoses are some of the highest in Chicago. The Peace Runners now have a lot of programs, including nutrition workshops, and they help train people to run marathons. Jackie ran 4 marathons this year, from Berlin to Tokyo, fundraising for the nonprofit. He even quit his day job to lead it full-time. Jackie tells his family story and the hope of closing the life expectancy gap on the West Side every chance he gets.
We need to be fighting for every resource to be coming to Garfield Park to make sure that we can be able to move this needle as fast as possible.
And he thinks of his mom and how she turned her health around. As Glyden wraps up her walk near the Garfield Park Fieldhouse, she tells me her journey wasn't easy, but she has a message for others.
Get up, get out, participate, don't give up, never give up.
She recently ran, not walked, her first 5K. Remember her granddaughter, the one Glyden didn't think she'd live to see grow up? Now she's 6, and she was at that 5K.
She said, Grandma, you did it. You did it. And when I heard that little voice told me I did it, it's just something in my ear said, keep going, keep going. You can't stop there.
Glyden's goals keep growing. She's eyeing an 8K. It would be her biggest race yet. Kristen Schorsch, WBEC News.
This story is part of a fellowship with the USC Annenberg Center for Health Journalism. A slight chance of rain in our forecast tonight, cloudy otherwise with a low in the mid-30s, partly sunny for our Tuesday with a high in the mid to upper 40s. And just to note that tomorrow's show will sound a little different. We'll be bringing you the new WBEZ special, Becoming Bovino. Gregory Bovino took the city and the nation by storm when he led the Border Patrol through Chicago's streets for months, while frequently posting highly produced social media videos promoting the forceful tactics that agents used. Yet, if you try to Google even the most basic information about Bovino's life, it's nearly impossible to find anything about him personally, his family, or the experiences that led him to become the kind of Border Patrol leader he is today. So, we sent a team digging. The Sun-Times' Lauren Fitzpatrick went to Bovino's hometown in North Carolina, and WBEZ's Dan Mihalopoulos went to Southern California, where Bovino got his start in the Border Patrol. They sit down with WBEZ's Patrick Smith to share what they found about Bovino's upbringing and his seemingly overnight rise to prominence. That's tomorrow, right here on the Rundown podcast feed. And as always, you can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Alex Degman. Thanks for listening.